And our Bears Monday continues at 4 a.m. in the morning. If you're getting up, getting ready to maybe work out or getting ready to get ready for the start of the week, welcome. Chuck Swirsky with you. Tyler Ferringall. We got Dustin dropping by at 5 with the latest recap of all the scores of all the games in the NFL, Major League Baseball, what's going on with the wild card. Again, as you know, over the weekend, Cubs were eliminated. The White Sox now have lost 120 games, tying the Mets for the all-time record in the modern era, and for that matter, really any era. But the White Sox take on the Angels this week at home, and then the Detroit Tigers, who have come out of nowhere in the second half of the season, playing great baseball. So again, Dustin will have that. We got Mully and Haw right here on our Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace, Chimney Authority, and Busey Bank. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. The Bears ran 84, count them, 84 offensive plays. That's a lot, folks. And yet could muster 63 rushing yards for an average of 2.3. And Caleb Williams was brilliant. He passed for 353 yards. He got sacked four times, threw two picks, threw a couple of touchdown passes, and Caleb Williams really has taken large leaps of advancement from game one to game three. I love what I'm seeing out of him, and again, he's not perfect. He made some questionable tosses, but again, I'm giving him the fact he's a rook. So good days are ahead for Caleb Williams, but a lot of issues going on with the offensive line, with the play calling, with the decisions on timeouts. 312-644-6767. All right, let's dial it back a few hours ago with Mully Olin-Kreutz along with Patrick Manley.
It is the Great Clips post-game show. Abbreviated as it may be, it's presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse. And I'll tell you what, Patrick, that's about as ugly a loss as you're ever going to see. The Bears dropping a 21-16 game in Indianapolis.
Yeah, that was gross. I texted you guys some bad words during the game, and it was bad, man. It's unfortunate because you came into the season with such great hope, and then you study these teams all during the week, and you're expecting something different, and then just the same old Bears. I mean, listen, they ran 84 plays and only scored 16 points. That's pretty bad.
I don't understand why they threw the ball so much. You know, we knew going into the game that this was a team that was allowing 47 yards on average per game in the first two games. Why didn't you take advantage of that? And unfortunately, they didn't. They didn't have a game plan in place.
Well, Mully, I mean, 84 plays, they still ran the ball 28 times, right? That's if you just take all the passes out, it's 28 rushes. They only averaged 2.3 yards per rush. So that's on everybody again. That's the O-line, play calling, tight ends, everybody in the run game not doing their job to – the goal line stand, I'm sure we'll get to. I know it's a quick one, but the goal line stand when you have DeAndre Carter blocking a defensive end when you're trying to score from the one-yard line. Like, there's just a lot of things that happen that it's all across the board. And then the speed option after that was Shane Waldron. We were hoping for a better game plan from him. It was terrible. It was terrible. Yeah. I mean, it's just terrible.
What's bizarre about it, and I think it is kind of bizarre, is that Caleb Williams – will look on paper as if he threw for a lot of yards and he got a couple of touchdowns. But if you watch the game, there were a lot of empty yards on that. The play at the end of the half where they got to the inch line. I mean, how long was that? There was just it was just not reflective of the kind of game he played. And frankly, you know, the two picks were bad, but the fumble, you know, the strip sack was equally important in the game. So, I mean, weird game.
Is that on Shane Waldron putting the tight ends on one of their best pass rushers? You know, they're trying to max protect those guys over there. I got to go back and look at it. But when you see Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett over there on that guy and they're not blocking him, again, that to me, that's on Shane Waldron. Yes, they need to be able to block them a little bit and hold it a little bit longer. But again, you know, that's players and coaches making mistakes, and that's why I think the game looked as bad as it did, because nobody did their job today. And then how about a long snapper being a part of the game with the old head bob?
Oh boy, that was ridiculous.
Flusie
saw that one and tried to say something. Olin, very deflating to lose that way, right?
Well, yeah, just deflating that Manly mentioned the long snapper.
I mean, I know.
All that whole day.
I know.
I got to hear about a long snapper.
I know.
After everything I watched today, you know?
That sums it up, right?
I don't know, though, Mully. It's because we talked about in the pregame, when you really watched the film of both teams, and Pat talked about, you know, how unimpressed he was with Richardson, which is putting it lightly, right?
Right.
And then talked about the Bears film and what you expected to see and could they beat him. And just talked about, well, from what I've seen on film, I don't expect that big of a jump today. And I think that's what we saw. Now, there were way more mistakes than you thought you would see from quarterbacks, from coaching staffs, along the line. It was just kind of a crazy day. And, you know, like I know Pat, what Pat's saying about leaving with a DN, but, you know, it's a rookie lot too. You have two tight ends on him, right? Mercedes Lewis and Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet just takes too many steps inside, right? He's got to use his inside help. You just can't get beat outside there. But, you know, Caleb Williams, you know, with all the excitement coming into the year, he was still a rookie quarterback. And we talked about that. And we are seeing and we are living through growing pains. And we lived through 52 of them today, right? 52 passes. We thought we'd see a run game. But the Colts offense put up the run yards we thought the Bears offense would today. And it was just kind of a crazy game played with a lot of mistakes.
Well, there was a huge difference in terms of the talents of the running backs, and that is not a slight of anyone, but I didn't see any difference in what Swift was doing in the game. We finally saw Roschon Johnson a little bit, but not enough, and I'm confused by what they're trying to do in the running game. I just don't think I understand what they're after with it. And I know how much Fields meant to the running game a year ago, and that's why the running game was so good. Did they delude themselves into thinking that their running game would be fine even after they got rid of the best running quarterback in the NFL, who, by the way, is 3-0 now?
Well, when you go all skill, right, when you build your team through skill positions, you change the identity of your team. You change the culture of your team and what you practice on a day-to-day basis, right? You practice empty. You practice getting receivers out. You practice taking shots. Today you saw them, Pat, go to a heavy dose of max protection runs to try to get some help to that offensive line. It did work. They found Caleb some time. He got down the field sometimes. But, you know, you signed a DeAndre Swift, which, you know, I would argue is more of a kind of a scat back, right? A third down kind of back, get him out, throw him the ball. But you change your identity, and then you try to go back a little bit. But guess what? There's no pads in practice. So when do you practice changing stuff? And then you see, like, their tackles don't even get in a three-point stance, right? So right there, you're saying what your identity is. Your identity is pass, throw the ball out quickly to receivers. Things like that, Pat, I think has changed the Chicago Bears run game. And we talked about in pregame how Coach Morgan, Coach Waldron, it seems like they're both trying to figure each other out. And that continued here in week 3.
And then just even to go down, I mentioned a little bit of the goal line situation early where they couldn't get it in on 4 downs and you're running a speed option. There's just things I just don't make sense and scratch my head. And I mentioned earlier that, you know, you got DeAndre Carter trying to cut off the edge of a defensive end at a goal line run. Like, what scheme is that? That's a Tuesday afternoon, you know, problem with the coaches up there at Hallis Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we talked about the way they did score their one running touchdown, right? That it was a running back sweep quarterback counter, and just, you know, sometimes you just got to line up, put your big guys on the field, right? Put an extra offensive lineman out there. Get big on guys. And let's run downhill behind Darnell Wright, Pryor, Coleman, Shelton. And you know what? If you don't get in, live with it. Right? Live with that. But I don't know if I can live with a speed option, you know, that loses 12 yards and you take Roschon off the field after he runs pretty good and you pitch it to Swift. So a lot of things you're questioning going in, but this is who they plan to be there in the off season, right? And you know, and it's like, gosh, not going for two there is not a good look, or not knowing you have to go for two is just not a good look. So we talked about the concentration and the focus it's going to take to beat a desperate team. But I mean, gosh, even Steichen not bringing the ball out of the end zone there, giving the Bears a chance to maybe get the ball back. But gosh, I've been watching Quentin Nelson for years, and I knew they were going to run that counter play. You know, that's the play they end every game with, you know? So, Mully, like you said, they have a different back, but they also have Quentin Nelson, Will Fries, Kelly in the middle, right? They have really good offensive linemen. And it was just a very interesting game, and the Bears continue to struggle to find an identity on offense.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to their running game, only what you're talking about. The first half, the Bears defense did a great job in the run game. Then they had all these three and outs. Then the center head bob, I got to go back to long snapper head bob. Then they started leaning on those guys inside. You know what I mean? They started leaning on them. They busted a 26-yard run, a 15-yard run. I think a 25-yard screen pass really didn't matter. And then the later on in the game, they started busting those 10-yard runs out. And that there is, you know, that's their strength, right? That's where they went to go draft and get Chris Ballard did, and they used it at the end of the game. And, Olin, to go back to what you were talking to about coaches making mistakes, you know, with the timeouts and all that kind of stuff, and the players not playing well and the coaches not coaching well, to me, that was just kind of two bad teams. I think that's what we saw today. Yeah. Just it was an ugly game. It was just two bad teams matched up against each other.
A lot of bad penalties in that game.
Yes.
A lot of weird moments.
That roughing the punter was just – to go after the punt there on 4th-and-18, to me, it's just a critical mistake. I mean, anyway, like you guys are saying, it's just very not good football there. And, you know, two young quarterbacks trying to grow into their position, and that's what you'll see.
Well, let's stay on the special teams topic. Richard Hightower trying to go get the block when they jump off sides on 4th-and-2. That's a situation you just say, okay, I know our offense isn't moving it, but we can't take this chance here. You just can't. You say, all right, let's play the return game and see what we can do, because if we jump off sides, that changes the game the other way. So unless you've got something schemed up, you know you're going to get home, or you know, you've got you're pretty positive, I wouldn't do it just in that situation of the game.
We should let you know you're listening to the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse, and we have a lot of bad moments in that game. Was there anything good? Did anything jump out at either of you that you thought that is an example of something to look forward to? I mean, I suppose Odunze played better. He got a touchdown. I mean, look, I know it's nothing, but they did score two touchdowns. The quarterback threw for two touchdowns, which was wonderful to see.
Well, I thought, Pat, I don't know what you thought, but I thought there were three. I think their first drive that they had the missed field goal, right? Mm-hmm. And then they also had a 13-play drive, and they had a 12-play drive. And just seeing those drives, Mully, where Caleb is doing, as Pat knows and you know, Mully, the work at the line of scrimmage is what elite quarterbacks do, right? They control things. They put you in plays. They give you the advantage over the defense. They point out the Mike linebacker. They organize protection. Caleb is doing more of that than I thought he would here in week three. And the fact that, you know, on that first drive, they did go 11 plays, end up missing the field goal. I think it was out of Santos's range, if I'm packing correct me, if I'm
for
wrong.
Sure. Yeah, it was.
And then they go for 13 plays and get that touchdown. And I think that drive was 7 minutes, right? And then they go again. So they almost, I think they had 30 more plays than the Colts.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for anything on the offense, Pat, I would guess positive. I would guess that.
Yeah, and I would like to know. So what I'm guessing now is that they're throwing everything at Caleb, allowing him to make all those checks and changes and all that stuff at line of scrimmage. And I'm with you, Olin. I like to see him be doing that. But how much is he right and how much is he wrong? You know, we probably won't know that, but that's something as the season goes along, we're talking about his growth. You're guessing that if he's able to do this already right now, this much on his plate, and he might be right and might be wrong, depends on the percentage of time, he's going to be right a lot more at the end of the year, and that's going to be a lot for his growth. That's going to be a much better way for him to maybe, you know, sometimes they'll slow drip the offense to you. Sometimes they throw it all to you. It looks like they've thrown it all to him, and for him to be able to get up there, in my opinion, to be able to just direct a little bit, it is impressive.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times too, when you're seeing, you're saying, man, why are they throwing the ball there? I think they're giving Caleb a run pass option on some of these runs.
Yes.
And he's deciding to pass it. So I don't really know the real numbers. You know, obviously, right, even 35 to 40 passes is a lot, but you don't know the real numbers on his pass because, you know, sometimes, like, if you remember early in the first quarter, he flipped it out to DJ Moore, right? That's a run. Cornerback was 10 yards off, so flip out the pass.
All right. Those were the voices of Mully along with Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley right here on 670 The Score following the Colts victory over the Chicago Bears. And again, coming up at 7 o'clock, Ole Kreutz with Mully and Haw, DJ Moore at 8 o'clock, Brad Biggs with Mully at 9, Anthony Herron at 11, Tiki Barber at noon, Dan Weider at 1, Kurt Warner will join Spiegs at 3, Jalen Johnson at 4, and you're listening to Football Monday, a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. We have lines open at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. As a fan watching this game, what did you take out of this game that's obvious? Is it the offensive line? Is it play calling? Is it indecision as far as dealing with whether or not you're going for 2 points or a point after? I didn't understand that. That should have already been decided the moment he crossed the goal line, that everyone was on the same page. They burned a timeout. And a lot of people are talking about, we've been on the air since midnight. And people are saying, Chuck, what is the identity of the Bears offense? And to be quite candid with you, I don't know. I have no clue. You throw 52 times in a game, your offensive line, I mean, can't, against a horrible defensive line of the Indianapolis Colts. Tyler, can you give me those numbers again, what Houston and Green Bay ran against the Colts? I mean, it was like bizarre in the first 2 weeks how much yardage the Colts gave up. And here the Bears, but they rushed for 63 yards.
So I have the numbers again, Chuck. This is week one, home against the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans ran as a team 40 carries, 213 yards, 5.3 yards per carry. Mm. And if we're going back to the Green Bay game, which was last week in Lambeau Field, the Packers, 53 carries, 261 yards, 4.9 a carry, which is essentially five yards a carry. Just utterly ridiculous that the Bears couldn't generate a sustaining run game against the worst run defense in the entire NFL.
Yes. In a moment, we're going to go to your calls at 312-644-6767. We'll hear from Caleb Williams as well. We've got Bears football, more conversation. I love featuring you on the phone lines because as fans, I'm sure you're just as frustrated as we are right here on 670 The Score. It's 4:20 in the morning. We'll take you until 5. Dustin will have the latest scoreboard news and the latest sports news. And then, of course, Mully and Haw right here on Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score. Caleb Williams next, along with you on the phone lines. This is Chuck Swirsky on The Score. And it's 4:25 right here on 670 The Score. Let's return to the phone lines. If you're just coming from work, going to work, thanks for having the dial set, 670 The Score. Mully and Haw coming up in 35 minutes right here on 670 The Score. But for now, your calls, we're going to hear from Caleb Williams. Let's go to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Over the Bears losing a game, and this was not only a loss, this was a bad loss. But the Bears, they can turn around and get it done before the break. They've got three winnable games. They've got the Rams coming up. Bears favored by 2.5. They got the Panthers, and even though the Panthers beat the Raiders, the Panthers are the Panthers. Andy Dalton will be checking into town, and the Bears should win that football game. And then they go to London to take on the Jaguars. And, hey, listen, in a make-believe world, can they win all three? Yes. But realistically, they can take 2 or 3. If they go 1 and 2, I would be disgusted. Let's go to D from the South Side. D, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening, Chuck?
Good, thank you.
Look, my question is coaching. after he got called.
Yep.
Oh, it's terrible. And Eagle Proof, how many games has he won since he's been here?
Not enough. But again, games? Some of that is not his fault because they were in a major rebuild. But having said that, everything starts at the top, right? And yes, so we can complain about the offensive coordinator, but everything, but Eberflus oversees everything. Yes. And now, do I think he's involved with decision making on every offensive play? No, I don't. And that's why I said earlier, I would love to be in that room. Because I think Ryan Poles should bring in Eberflus along with Waldron and the offensive line coach and just clear the air on everything and challenge these coaches to get better and not to have indecision about are you going for 2 points or the extra point kick. That was incredible. Where are we at with play calling? Why are we doing these plays? What's going through your mind? Why are you putting these players in a position where they can't succeed? That's what I want to know.
You know, Chuck, look at Justin Fields, what he's doing now. It's all going to come back to coaching. It always does. And right now the Bears that got to ask themselves, are we committed to winning this year or are we committed to a rookie quarterback?
Well, I mean, the Bears are committed to a rookie quarterback.
Okay.
They're not going to bench Caleb Williams. This isn't a Carolina Panthers thing, you know, where Bryce Young is benched in his second year. That's not happening here.
Well, we're not going to win.
You're not going to win with Caleb Williams?
No.
Why would you say that?
Right now, Caleb Williams doesn't have the demeanor. He doesn't have the demeanor. And right now, he doesn't have the coaching. Bottom line.
Okay, well, you know, were you expecting Caleb Williams to come in here as a finished, polished product?
No. What I expected is more from the coaching staff to help him grow.
Okay, well, that's fair. That's a fair statement. And through three games, I've been disappointed with the play calling. So as players make adjustments and they are coached up, I would hope that the general manager of this team will coach up these coaches. That's maybe not necessarily his job, but he's the general manager of the team. He's got to challenge these coaches to get better.
I've seen enough of Eagle Fools. I've seen enough of him.
Well, I don't know the man. I've never met the man. He comes across as a really good human being, and he's a very good defensive coach. I don't know how they go about selecting offensive coordinators. I don't know who has the final call. I don't know the criteria. I don't know who's involved in the room to make decisions. You know, the only thing I know about Waldron is that he had success in Seattle. That's as much as I know. You could probably get a better handle on that when Mully talks with Biggs and the rest of the football guys. But I've been disappointed with Waldron, very much so.
Let's go back to Justin Fields. And Justin Fields, they're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to go far because you know why? They got coaching, period.
Well, again, Mike Tomlin, awesome, just re-upped his contract. This isn't about Justin Fields anymore. I'm locked in on the Bears. I wish Fields all the best with Pittsburgh. I hope he has a great run and a great career because Russell Wilson, I'll tell you what, if this trend continues, I'm not saying Pittsburgh's going to win every game, but you get near the trade deadline and Pittsburgh, Tyler, when is the trade deadline? Can you Google that for me, please? Tyler Farengol is our producer. Can you Google NFL trade deadline to let me know what day that is? Because let's say the trade deadline is after week 7 or week 8. And let's say Pittsburgh is 4 or 5 games over the 500 mark. Well, if I'm an NFL team, I'd be making a trade for Russell Wilson. They can give Russell Wilson away. And then Pittsburgh's going to have to make that choice and decision on how to pay Justin Fields if Fields is the guy. When is the trade deadline?
November 5th.
November 5th. How many games would the NFL play by November the 5th?
So that would be 2 weeks after the Bears' week 7 bye week. So that would most likely be during the right after week 8 or week 9. So essentially the halfway point of the season.
Okay. So let's say Pittsburgh is 6-3, okay? And Russell Wilson remains on the bench. I would think that he would go to the Steelers, or the Steelers would probably try to trade him for a fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick, whatever, because he's a free agent at the end of the year, if Fields continues to play like this. But right now, this isn't about Justin Fields. This is about the Chicago Bears. Thank you for the call. 312-644-6767. And let's go to Mark in River Forest. Mark, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm just kind of, you know, really disgusted with the way they've been playing. I mean, where's the fullback at? I know he's injured, but get another fullback. You know, I mean, you need a lead blocker. I mean, they're just, you know, you got someone like, you know, which is Braxton Jones. I mean, he seems like he's a nice guy, but he's the equivalent of a tackling dummy. You know, I mean, they can't, their offensive line is just horrible. I've never seen it like that before, where they're just guys getting beat up. And, you know, we can't give up on Williams. I mean, he's got to be the
Yeah, well,
the guy.
They're not giving up on Williams. No one's giving up on Williams, so you don't have to worry about that. But I think that, I mean, if the Bears believe they've got the personnel on the offensive line, then the obvious question is, are they being coached up the correct way with their schemes? I don't know. I'm not at Hallis Hall. I don't go to Hallis Hall. I don't know any of the Bears. I'm doing this talk show, and I'm talking like I'm a fan. I'm a Joe Bag of Donuts guy. I just see on TV, and I'm watching the game, and I'm looking at this, and it's not working. So they got to figure things out, and they can do that with three opponents, and you never take anything for granted, because in the NFL, to use that old Pete Rozelle, the commissioner of the NFL, on any given Sunday, and it's true, on any given Sunday, a team can beat another team, no matter the record. However, the Bears' upcoming schedule, they should be able to handle the Rams, the Panthers, and the Jaguars before they go on the road, and they've got a daunting schedule the second half of the season. That's why this loss against the Colts hurts. The Colts are a mediocre, below-average football team, period.
They should have blown them out,
but they should have won, in my opinion, by 10 points. And I'll tell you what, they're lucky. The Bears are lucky. Had Joe Flacco replaced Richardson in this ball game, the Bears would have lost by 2 touchdowns, because Flacco still has something left in his bag.
Yeah.
But thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And let's go to George. George from the South Side, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to talk about Caleb Williams. I mean, you got to realize he's still a rookie, and he got a lot to learn, you know. The NFL is a whole different game than the college game.
You better believe it.
He's getting a good taste of that right now. But let's just be patient with this kid. Remember, he's a rookie. Obviously, he's not coming out, you know, being clutch like we all expected him to be, with all these weapons that we thought we were going to surround him with. You know, as far as coaching, well, you know, last year we had similar problems, and seems like they're having them again. And the defense, you know, Justin Fields having a hell of a season over there right now with the Steelers, because, you know, he got a good defense on the other side also that's helping him win these games. And I mean, we could have done that with him here too if we would have kept him, I feel like. But obviously we would with Caleb, and you know, we figure either it's gonna be bad like it is now, or it's gonna be good like all the hype that was surrounding him when he came out of college.
Yeah, well, he's very accustomed to the hype. I mean, this guy has been hyped up from his days at Oklahoma to his Southern Cal. He was on national TV doing commercials during when he played with the NIL situation with the license. So, I mean, he is not awed by the hype machine. And he can play this game. I don't want to compare Caleb Williams and Justin Fields, even though everybody that calls this show wants to do so. You know, last year at this time, everyone was ripping Justin Fields. Now Justin Fields is the greatest thing since, you know, Tom Brady, Johnny Unitas, you know, Joe Montana. You know what? I'm glad he's having a great season with Pittsburgh. But I'm locked in on what's going on with the Bears, not what's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Justin Fields. Let's go to Jim. Jim from Chicago, you are on 670 The Score. What's going on, Jim?
Good morning. I was going to say that the division, our division, looks like monsters. The Vikings, the Packers, Detroit.
Yep.
Look like monsters compared to the Bears. They just look like monsters. You know, the season's just, we were supposed to win 9 games and make the playoffs. Was that opium smoking?
Well, we don't. You know? It's still. They played 3 games. They can still win 9 games this season. Maybe
I
even.
I doubt that sincerely. They're nowhere near the Vikings or any of the other teams in the division. So, good luck to them. That's all I got to say.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah. Right now, the NFC Central. I mean, this is a very, very tough NFC North. Wow. Well, since we're talking about Caleb Williams, let's hear from the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. We're going to take a break, and then 670 The Score, you're going to hear from Caleb Williams. And it's Bears Monday right here on 670 The Score, standing by Dustin, right here on 670 The Score. And then we got Mully and Haw, our Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. We have Tyler Ferengel has been producing since midnight. We're on the air until 5 o'clock. And then Mully and Haw again with Olin Krutz at 7, DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs at 9, Anthony Heron at 11, Tiki Barber at noon, Dan Weider at 1, Kurt Warner at 3, Jalen Johnson at 4, and tomorrow TJ Edwards at noon. And we've got you covered right here on 670 The Score as the Bears fall to the hapless Indianapolis Colts. Unbelievable. All right. Caleb Williams. Let's talk a little about Caleb. 33 of 52. He threw 52 passes. The Bears ran 84 plays and yet could muster only 63 yards on the ground. The line for Caleb Williams, 33 of 52, sacked 4 times, 363 in the air, 2 TDs, 2 picks, and a quarterback rating of 80.8. By the way, the quarterback rating for Anthony Richardson, 39. 39. And yet Indianapolis won the game. Think about that, sports fans. All right, here's Caleb Williams.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Awesome. I'm well. Definitely feeling the loss. It sucks every single time. You know, taking a loss. It never gets easier, never gets better. And so, to say that, I still am proud of my guys. Proud of the steps that we've taken so far. The things we did today compared to last week and the week before, the steps we were taking. Super excited about this future of the offense, the team, the defense, special teams. Obviously, defense is playing lights out. Obviously, they don't want points being up on the board, but to have, I think it was 2 interceptions or so. To have 2 interceptions on their side is all we need for offense. To get those extra drives, and like I said, they're playing lights out. So, those guys deserve to win. They work hard each week to go out and do what they do. They do it well, and we're going to get better offensively. We're going to be better, and the special teams wise, obviously, we got to. A couple different, plays and punts and things like that that, did well for us. Couple of different returns, but as an offense, as a team, definitely excited and definitely proud of guys.
On the strip sack at the end, what did you feel, what did you see going through?
Yeah, so I was, when I got to the top of the drop, I definitely felt, I think it was Latu. Right. Latu coming around the edge. So I tried to step up, small movements, nothing huge. Cause I also, saw Rome about to pop behind the backer. I think they either were cover 2 on that right side or doubling DJ. And so I came off of that backer, started to move out with my eyes about to throw it to Rome. And then right there, strip sack.
On the 4th and goal option play. To Swift, what did you see pre-snap in terms of the look they gave you, and then what did they do to blow that up?
Yeah, so that was a tough one. Being right there on the inch yard line, 1 yard line, and then not get that. So, seeing it, things like that, is a play we practice all week. Understanding that when they get around the 5-yard line to 1-yard line, their defense changes, and they get into those 6-1 defense and things like that. You know, they normally, you know, crash and things like that. And, you know, I guess maybe I didn't get on the edge fast enough, or whatever case may have been. But they didn't crash you know, how they normally do or how we saw on film. And you know, they made a good play. Had an extra overhang player over there, and it may have been, you know, because of the pistol or whatever case may have been.
Did you have the option to change the play at the line of scrimmage there, and wish you would have?
On that play. Yeah, we have the option to change the play right there. Clock was running down. In those moments, you don't really want, you don't necessarily want to get the flag. Got out the huddle, I believe, with around 10 seconds. And so I didn't want to get up there and, you know, alert the play or change the play and things like that. Have it around five or so or whenever when everybody got set. And so, you know, at that point, you got to call and run it and get going.
If there had been more time, based on the look you saw, do you think you
could? I could have changed it, yes.
The interception when you're going to DeAndre, Matt said kind of a rhythm throw. What did you kind of see there in terms of the corner where he was at?
DeAndre
Carter on the third down after the big
play. Yeah. So I was out of rhythm of the route. They played they covered up the curl. Cole went to the opposite hash and sat, and then we had a flat. Just a, you know, routine play. Corner made a great break on the ball. I didn't get all of my power into the throw. So that's why I was a little bit loftier than you know, some of the usual passes when you're throwing something like that. I got a little pushback and tried to get it to him. Thought the DB was a little too far off, and like I said, made a great break on the ball. Can't have those.
Do you feel like you're any closer to an offensive identity at this point, or do you?
Yeah, I do actually. You know, I got our first two passing touchdowns of the year. You know, obviously, which is feels good, exciting to get that going finally in the second half of this, you know, this game. So having the offense, identity is, I think it is brewing. I think it is a lot closer than, you know, it was the week before or weeks before. And I think us figuring that out is going to get this thing going. I think we're right there. It's you know, on all the plays, we were just simply, you know, one small detail or. That's myself included on some of these, you know, some of these plays that happened today. But we're one small detail, you know, a lot of these plays that, like I've said in many other interviews, that, you know, these small details always add up to be something bigger.
What enabled you to get Rome going today?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think watching film, going through practices and things like that, I've told Rome that I'm going to give him the ball some more. The routes he run, the trust and belief that I have in him, you know, that's why I threw that ball to him. That ended up being a pick, which, you know, I told him I'll come back to him and things like that. But, you know, that pick, the defender's back was turned, and it's always, you know, one of those rules that as a QB offense, you know, when a defender's back is turned to one of your guys, you give him a chance because obviously he's not looking at the ball. You know, a corner made a good break on the ball once it was tipped. He had his eyes back and then, you know, things like that. So, you know, some of the practice reps, some of the after practice reps that Rome and I have been getting these past couple of weeks, I think it pays off and we're going to keep doing it, you know, because we want to obviously build that connection and have that trust and belief in each other.
Follow up to that, the 47-yarder to Odunze, said that it felt just like the preseason play. Did it feel like that to you as well, and what did you see?
Yeah, I didn't have to roll out on that one, but, yeah, it definitely felt like that. We've been working on, you know, some of our different routes and things like that, you know, throughout these weeks. Every day we get about 10 to 15 passes with each other after practice. You know, certain passes like that, and a lot of times the, you know, the deep downfield balls are, you know, the more, you know, rhythm routes that you have to, you know, try and keep your receiver in stride and things like that. He had a great route. Made a great catch, and, you know, gave us a chance.
After the touchdown to Rome there, you and, you know, Rome had the celebration running off the field. But are you thinking you're going for two in that spot? Kind of what's your mindset in terms of the next play there?
Yeah, that's coach's decision. You know, I unless I have a strong, you know, opinion on it, I'm you know, waiting on coach's decision in that instance.
But you're thinking the kicking team's coming out there? That's right.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they were coming out. I ran off the field. We ran off the field and then obviously came back on.
On the fourth and goal, obviously that sequence, it felt like you guys were knocking on the door for five or six plays. What's your feeling when you're down there for as long as you were and then to come off with zero?
Yeah, it is frustrating. You know, when you're that close and you get four attempts right there, I think we were below the five for four attempts. And so, you know, not get in in those moments, it definitely is frustrating. But, you know, I believe that was the 17-play drive or so, I believe, or one of those. And so, you know, to be able to march the ball and move the ball for 17 plays, that's NFL ball. We got to keep going and keep finishing. That's the most important thing.
Trying to find the offensive identity and that you guys are closer. Can your offensive identity be you throwing the ball 53 times or
did I throw it?
52.
I threw it 52 times? Jeez.
Do you guys need to find a balance?
No, I mean, I'm, you know, I do whatever team needs. You know what I mean? And so if it's 50 times, it's 50 times. I can't have the two turnovers with those 50 attempts. You know, and then if it ends up being 10 times and it's, you know, you know, I complete 9 of those 10 and we have 300 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns, you know, I'm fully aware, fully ready to do whatever, you know, that may seem and whatever the team needs. If it comes down to being 50 attempts and us slinging the ball around, if it comes down to being, you know, 10 attempts, it's whatever team needs to get the win. And that's, you know, you go in the locker room, you celebrate and have fun because it's hard to win in NFL, as we always say and as I've said. So, you know, we'll keep slinging it. We'll keep working on run game. You know, we'll keep getting better, definitely as an offense. We're going to get this thing going here soon.
Yeah, last one, with the offense as a whole of the scheme, do you feel like you guys need to restructure some things, or do you feel like this is the right track that you guys are on right now as far as the play calling and things like that?
Yeah, I think more communication within, you know, the offense. Figuring out, you know, our pass protection this game was definitely, you know, a lot better. And we changed some things up, you know, figuring out what fits us as a team. I think so the constant communication that I've talked about before, I think goes a long way. And I think we need to keep doing that. Like I said, it's a long season. And so being able to, you know, adapt, change and adapt to the players and people that we have in these rooms. Because we got special guys, whether it's offensive line, running backs, and you know, wide receivers, and so you know, being able to adapt and all of that, I think it starts from communication and being that's something that's constant throughout a long season, throughout a game where, you know, rhythm, you know, starting fast, you know, throughout a game that, you know, you want to get things going, you want to be consistent, you want to be explosive, all these different things. It starts with communication, and then, you know, from there you can be consistent because then it works well with, you know, our guys and our beliefs. Awesome. Thank you. The Bears.
All right. Well, that has been an incredible show. Many thanks to Tyler Ferengel, our producer, for putting us on the air. Many thanks to all of our listeners, and we appreciate your participation as well. We got Dustin with all the scores, all the games, a recap of what's going on in sports. Mully and Haw right here on 670 The Score. You want Bears football, you've got Bears football. This is Chuck Swirsky. Always a pleasure. Have a great Monday, everyone.